Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and I'm going to begin reading verses 13 and on. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Last week we began talking about the fact that I'm in the Lord's army. And for everyone here who is a child of God, that's applicable to you. And as we examined this last week, we talked about what is involved in enlistment and pointed out the fact that it's a voluntary enlistment. There is no drafting in the Lord's army. You choose to be a part of the army. You're not physically born into the Lord's army. Again, you choose to be a part of the Lord's army. And then from our reading just a moment ago, last week, we looked at all the facets of the equipment that's given to us to fight in the battle. And it is a battle. And we are in a war with Satan, and we need to recognize that each and every day. There are times when Satan comes at us full force, head on, in total battle mode, and we realize we're in battles with him. And then there are times when Satan engages us in the subtleties and the nuances that are involved in his deceptions that he hopes will bring the victory because he knows the battle is still on. What we have to be careful of is assuming that we know we're in a spiritual battle when something jumps out and yells at us that this is a battle with Satan. What we really need to do is have a mindset that no matter where I am, no matter what I'm engaged in, Satan is going to try to make inroads. Satan is going to try to do things that are destructive to my spiritual well-being. And the same is true for you. And therefore, we need to take on the whole armor of God in order to withstand him. You can't take one of these figurative examples and say, that will be sufficient. If you do it, you go into the battle without the preparation that God want you to have. We noted then that it is important for us to take that armament and put it to use. And that's where we want to start today, is the realization that this armament is here, our weapons are here, and we need to be putting them to use. We need to recognize that there is basic training that we are involved in as we go into the battle against Satan. One of the greatest disadvantages an army has if it goes into battle is not knowing the plans of the enemy or not knowing the objectives of the leaders of the army we're in. Oftentimes, wars are won or lost because of one of those elements being present. And what is really sad is when an army finds itself not listening to its leaders and therefore is ill-equipped and ill-prepared to go into the battle. That's never the case if we arm ourselves as God's people with the Word. If we arm ourselves as God's people in having a prayerful life that is engaged in glorifying God at every opportunity, that is engaged in seeking God's wisdom, seeking God's help in the various temptations Satan places before us. It is essential that as children of God, we gain strength from each other as we praise God together, as we give Him adoration, as we worship together. The idea of trying to battle with Satan in an isolated sense is something that will be destructive to us. It will allow for Satan's victory. So if we're going to see ourselves as in the Lord's army, then we need to be involved in the Word. We'll look at a number of passages on the screen. It's in the New King James. If you'd like to follow along in your Bible, please feel free to do so. But here in 1 Peter, the second chapter, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may be able to grow thereby. His purpose of the milk of the Word here is not the same sense in which the Hebrew writer was using it in Hebrews. In Hebrews, it's given as a warning as if you're not getting deep enough. Here, Peter is simply saying, take in the Word, both in its simplicity and in its deeper meat, take it in. Desire it. Want it in your life. Make it a part of who you are. And let me tell you, that's not something that's done simply by staying at home, reading it by yourself, and never interacting with other Christians in the study of the Word. It doesn't happen that way. It happens by going into the Word, getting to understand the Word, sharing your thoughts on the Word with other Christians, letting them share their thoughts with you, and growing in that Word. It means that we're going to take opportunities, seek opportunities, to find ourselves engaged in Bible study. Now, one of the things we're going to do in today's lesson that we didn't do so much last week, as we talk about this idea of the Lord's army, is realize that while we're talking about the church universal as an army, if I can take this metaphor in a little different direction, there are within the army various companies or divisions or regiments. A local congregation is a part of the Lord's army. And we have obligations as soldiers in the Lord's army to be soldiers within the local congregation as well. We need to take that seriously. And we need to make it a serious part of who we are. And when we talk about the idea of getting into the Word, getting into the understanding of the Word, then we certainly need to see that as brothers and sisters in Christ, we grow as those opportunities arise for Bible studies together. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy there in 1 Timothy 2, I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath. As we as soldiers of Christ pray to God, then we do so with our hands purified by the blood of Christ. Not by our own righteousness, but by the blood of Christ. And therefore we find ourselves, as Paul told the Ephesians, or the Thessalonians rather, we are praying without ceasing. Men and women who are in the Lord's army have a mindset to pray, no matter what the circumstance might be. And again, while we can by no means assemble with the church universal at this time, we certainly can be a part of the local congregation. Look at what the Hebrew writer reminded them of in Hebrews the 10th chapter, beginning at verse 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. I'll ask you a very simple question. Are you an exhorter? Are you an exhorter of those who are part of the Lord's army? About every congregation, in fact, every congregation I've ever been with, have those members of the congregation who are always, it seems, just on the edge, just on the border. We have them here. Do you exhort them? When's the last time you gave them a word of warning? A word of encouragement? When's the last time you said to them, I've shown you that I have a love and concern for your soul, and now I'm concerned about this or that or the other thing? Notice how I prefaced it there. Because here's where we can get in trouble sometimes. I've not shown them any concern whatsoever. And now I want to go and exhort them or admonish them because they're not assembling with the saints? Maybe one of the first things out of their mouth would be, and who are you? And that's not the idea. And what right do you, but rather, who are you? In other words, to be one who is willing to go and encourage each other, we've got to know each other. We've got to be aware of each other. So that when those individuals who want to, or find themselves and want to be on the edge, we can be there to say, I want to bring you into the fold in its entirety. I want you to be an active part of the work here. I don't want you to simply be on our roster. There were some there that the Hebrew writer talks about. They had made it their manner of living to not assemble with the saints. And we have some who at times fall into that category. What is the answer? The first response is to stir them up to love and good works. Are you one of the soldiers that's stirring up the love and good works? If you're not, you are neglecting a responsibility. I don't care how old you are. And I don't care how young you are, you're neglecting a responsibility. You may say, but Joe, I don't have the ability to talk to somebody like you do, or like somebody else does. You have the ability to go find some card of encouragement and send to them. You have the ability to do, just to write your own little note to them. We all can do something to encourage others within our fellowship. That's what it means to be a part of the army. That's what it means to be a part of the local congregation, and we need to take it seriously. We need to be involved in exercise. Those of you who have been in the military, look, I was in the Navy. I was not in battle situations. But you know what we did in boot camp a lot? We marched. And we marched. And we marched. And let me tell you something. Even those who later went to various bases and got on ships, you couldn't possibly have marched that much on the ship as we did in boot camp. But we marched. And we marched. Now, because it was the Navy and it's a higher intellect, we were also involved in classes. Anyhow. But we marched and marched. And you know why we marched? It wasn't for exercise, because we didn't march all that fast. Army and Marine guys may have said, huh, you don't know what it's like to put 60 pounds on your back and run. Granted, we didn't. But here's what we learned. Discipline. Discipline and discipline. When you instill within someone discipline, it will begin to carry over into all facets of the relationship. And so it was while we did that silly marching, day in and day out. And while you always have the exception that's not going to allow themselves to be regulated, the point was those who truly wanted to understood the necessity to comply with and be obedient to and in regulation with and having exercised were compliant to be effective. And so the exercise is essential. It is essential that victory is possible. Look at some passages in 2 Timothy again, the 4th chapter. Paul said, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith, finally there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. You've got to be ready when the battle comes at you. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3, you therefore must endure hardship as I am in the Lord's army. That's what we must recognize. There are difficulties, but we are going to rise to the occasion. We recognize also that there are going to be spies among us. There are going to be those who want to be destructive to the cause of Christ. This is something we don't like to talk about very often, but it's absolutely true. There are times when false teachers will arise, both from within and come in from outside. And the warning is given for us to be alert to that possibility, to be on guard against these times. When Paul had called for the elders from the church at Ephesus, here's some of what he said to them in his address to them in Acts the 20th chapter, beginning at verse 28. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, vicious wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Wow, that was a heavy warning he gave. The warning was, look out for people that want to come in and destroy the gospel of Jesus Christ even among you. And then they probably said, oh yeah, we'll look out. And he continues on and says, watch out among yourselves, brethren, because some of you may indeed try to take that congregation that you are pastoring and lead it into error, apostasy, into falsehoods. So the warning is there that these things may arise. These dangers are before us. In Galatians, the 2nd chapter in verse 4, the idea of being led astray, he says, and this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Now the setting here is the idea of Judaizing Christians, Christians who were wanting people to be a part of the old law and part of the new covenant. And he said they came in by stealth. And you know what the idea of stealth is? It's not recognizable. We hear on the news over the last decade or so about our stealth fighters. That is, radar can't detect them, and so they're on the enemy before the enemy can arm their defenses. And Paul was warning the churches of Galatia that that had happened to them spiritually. And the warning is for us as well. Now, the way to overcome those who are coming in by stealth is, quite frankly, to overcome the stealth. And while we may think on the military terms of today's technology, well, that's almost impossible, the reality is systems are being developed to overcome the stealth aircraft. What we have to do to come back to our spiritual application is realize this. God has given us the tools of awareness to not allow the stealth apostate to do damage among us. How? Arming ourselves with the Word of God. Knowing it, understanding it, and when somebody says something, measure it against the Word. If it seems to contradict, ask others within the congregation, those you have confidence in a greater sense of the Word, understanding of the Word. Find out from them, how does this compare with what this brother is saying? And in doing so, we can guard against that kind of apostasy. There was also the danger of people simply coming in as the enemies of God. Over in 2 Corinthians, it's warned in the 11th chapter beginning at 14. And no wonder, for Satan himself transformed himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. The Apostle Paul was warning the Corinthians, there are going to be people that come in whose sole purpose is to lead you in the wrong direction. We probably have never really faced that kind of situation. But the danger is there. And the warning is there. Where individuals come in among a congregation and their point, their purpose, their goal is to lead them away from the things they're doing. Now, might they have the noblest of intents? Sure. That doesn't change the fact that their objective is to lead us away from the Word of God. And we have to be careful of that. And again, with all of these, it comes by knowing the Word, being involved in the Word. We recognize that some of them are even camouflaged. We got that from the idea that was presented earlier when Paul told the elders from Ephesus, they can arise from among you, but look at what Jesus says here in Matthew, the 7th chapter in 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. They look like one of us. They talk like one of us. This kind of goes back to the idea of 2 Corinthians, the warning there. But inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Look at what they're saying. Listen to what they're saying. Watch what they're doing. And in doing so, we'll guard ourselves from those times that the false teacher will try to come in and lead us astray. So there will be spies at times. We must be on guard. Sadly, some will turn away. Some will desert. Some will become traitors. Some will become insubordinate. But that's what happens within an army, and it happens within the Lord's army. And the warning is given for us about the idea that yes, some will desert. In 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter and verse 5, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Why? Why would they do so? Many times, it's because they've decided they've gotten a better understanding of how to get things done separate and apart from what God thought. Listen, what evolved over the second and third and fourth centuries that took the Lord's church and made it an apostate that called itself the Lord's church in huge numbers, always had its genesis in the idea of what can we do to improve what God's given us. They didn't wake up one morning and decide, we're going to reorganize the church as God's presented it to us in the first century. It evolved into the false systems that exist today. We have to be careful. We have to watch and make sure that we always seek a thus saith the Lord when those opportunities arise for some to try to desert, for some to try to quit doing what God says to do. For those who do turn traitor and try to deceive the congregations. Those are the ones in Acts the 20th chapter. They are in fact the elders who allowed themselves to be taken going astray. We find also that there were those who simply were going to disobey. And yet they wanted to stay within the congregations. They wanted to claim themselves to be a part of the army, and they disobeyed. 2 Thessalonians the 3rd chapter and verse 6, Paul said, here's what you do about those situations. But we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. There are going to be individuals who want to say, I'm going to do something else while here, while among us, contradictory to what God says. What are you going to do about it? What he says is withdraw from them. Those who will not repent and continue in insubordination to the will of God are a cancer to the congregation, are an infection to a congregation. And they must be rooted out. Those aren't the easy things to talk about, but they're the warnings that are given. You know what we really are wanting to talk about and strive for is the idea of having distinguished service. That should be the goal of each and every one of us. Look at what is said in Mark the 10th chapter in verse 29. So Jesus answered and said, surely I say to you, there is no one who has left father or left house or brother or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life. What he is telling us is this. When you stand up for the Lord, there are going to be people that don't like it. And you may lose friendships. You may lose relationships with family. But it will be replaced with relationships in Christ with one another. And if you find yourself in persecution, there will be eternal life. And that needs to keep us going at times. So we must never find ourselves so discouraged because of the difficulties of things around us that we don't even seek to draw strength from other Christians. If we find ourselves in the predicament that's just described here, if we find ourselves in the predicament of seeming to be isolated from others around us, one of the strangest things to me is when people find themselves in that predicament and they draw further and further away from God's people. That should be the time that we draw closer and closer to one another. Paul told the Ephesians in chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. spiritual blessings we find in the Lord's army cannot be numbered. And they are to lift us past the discouragements, past the disappointments. Paul told the young man Timothy in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, in verse 12, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." What Paul says to Timothy is, go out and proclaim it. Be a child of God, be a part of the Lord's army that says, I look for opportunities, I seek opportunities to be one who is a proclaimer, a confessor of my faith. It's my responsibility. Let each of us take on that responsibility wholeheartedly. Let us see that we too will answer as Paul by saying, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also all who have loved His appearing. Be that one that God calls upon you to be. Be that one who strives for service in the Lord's army. Do not allow yourself to let the difficulties, the disappointments, the hardships of life to draw you further and further and further away from your service to God. Let me give you this warning. Almost without exception, those who have left the Lord's army first leave their post in the local congregation. And it never is something that just happens. It is a process of drawing back from reading the Word, from praying to God, from seeking opportunities for spiritual study with one another. We don't have Sunday evening services here, but the third Sunday of each month we have a men's study. It is not an old men's study. It is not a young men's study. It's a men's study. Tonight, this afternoon, more correctly, at 4 o'clock, there will not be an old lady's study. And there will not be a young girl's study. There will be a lady's study. Do you participate in either of those? And if you don't, why don't you? We find the time to go distances to do the things we want to do with the high price of gas. We find the time to set aside to be involved in the things we want to be involved in. That is true for each and every one of us on about everything. There are very few things that I want to do that I can't do. There can be from time to time a few things. But when I want to do them, I will find the time and I will find the money to do what I want to do. And the same is true for each and every one of us when it comes to meeting the spiritual opportunities that we try to afford for ourselves as a regiment within the Lord's army. If you're in the Lord's army, are you one who is strengthening or are you a drain? If you're a drain on the Lord's army, stop it. Let us help you stop it. Let us encourage you to once again be part of the strength of the local congregation. If you're already a strength to the local congregation, thank God for you and continue to be so. And go out into the world and share the gospel. Do not try to fight Satan alone. Let us help you fight Satan. I'm in the Lord's army. I'm saying to you, without pride, I'm in the Lord's army. And I pray that you are as well. If you're not in the Lord's army, we're about to sing a song of encouragement.